Aradian's war room rivaled my father's in size, but reflected distinctly different tastes. Hers was simple, brutal even, a single room carved into the mountain behind the castle, the entrance hidden by the rushing of a waterfall. Aradian stood across from me, and when she cast her eyes upon me, I sensed disgust ripple in the deep indigo pools of her irises. "I believe that the Fae King, your father, is preparing for war," she said seriously. "Why are we wasting this time discussing?" I asked impatiently. "We need to guard the pass now. He won't attack until he's certain that he will win." "And what do you suggest we do?" I asked. "The same," she said gravely. The Eastern Elves, unlike their Western clan, were notoriously independent. "Why would they ally with us?" I asked. "Because we," she said, smiling, "have something the Elk King wants. If you attempt to use the halfling as a pawn, I will wage war upon you myself," I growled. "You would do well not to threaten me, Prince. It is only by the grace of my hospitality that you and your pet still breathe," Aradian replied. "The girl will not be used. However, if we lose this war, remember that we had a chance to win, and you didn't take it. You were wildly stubborn and equally powerful. To try to prevent you from journeying with us was a fool's errand, although I would be much happier if you stayed behind to finish healing. By the time we left, your lingering anger had frozen from fire into ice. I thought we had resolved the issue the night before, but it seems I had underestimated you once again. It took nearly 3 days of traveling over snow tundra and ice, through driving sleet and howling winds, to make it to the kingdom of the Eastern Elves. "This, is it?" you asked Hawthorne when she announced that we'd arrived. You looked at the frozen lake, searching its emptiness for some sign of life. "There's nothing here," you said with confusion. Hawthorne smiled at you wryly. "What did the witch know that we didn't?" "Patience, halfling," Hawthorne said. "Keep calling me that Hawthorne, and I'll nick something off of you again like I did in the gleaning." "You wouldn't dare," Hawthorne said, but there was a glint of challenge in her eyes. "Witches," Hawthorne said, "gather." The 12 witches held their hands over the surface of the lake and whispered ancient incantations I could not understand. Suddenly, there was a strange hissing sound. The ice was melting. I pressed my hand on your chest to push you back from the edge of the lake just as a set of stairs carved into ice appeared. "Welcome," Hawthorne said with a wicked smile, "to the kingdom of the Eastern Elves." It's a strange thing watching someone turn the very wit and magic they use to charm you upon someone else. And I observed with abject horror as you beguiled Galindil. It was as if he were but an immortal string, being wound tighter and tighter around your mortal finger. "Perhaps this is a game for you," I roared, "but it's not a game for me. I was going to take you right there in that hall. Elven party be damned. I moved to rip off your leathers when footsteps came running down the hall. I turned my head and saw Hawthorne. Her face was bereft and my stomach sank. The witches. They're under attack. The Elf King, he tricked us. We have to leave now."